Again, I want to welcome you to Grace Point this morning, and I would like to have an opening prayer to both begin our service in the right frame and also to calm myself. Heavenly Father, we are blessed to be able to come together today in this very unusual way. We are blessed to remember that you should be the focus in our lives, that we should always surrender ourselves to you so that what comes out of my mouth will be your words and not mine. Bless all those that are watching this video, and bless those that have been particularly impacted by this catastrophe. We have a great deal to be thankful for, and we have a great deal of need out there that we need to look into. Help us to always see your children as you did. Bless the words that I say today, so that we may be able to listen to God speaking through me rather than my thoughts and words. It's in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. Well, there are no particular announcements today. I do want to remind you that there are two ways to give to our church, both through mailing in checks to the church, and we have online giving that can be accessed from our website. And unfortunately, the expenses of our church continue even during the pandemic. So I pray for you to prayerfully consider your donations and move forward as God leads you. The scripture for today is from Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 to 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood before him. And he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and Lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are five more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt, and that all you have seen. Hurry and bring back my father down here. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we say thanks be to God. This is the end of the story of Joseph, son of Jacob. The story starts in chapter 37 of Genesis and is a fairly long story. It goes all the way through this, and there's even some sections after this that continue the story. But let me refresh your memory of what happened at the beginning of the story, back in chapter 37 of Genesis. Joseph's brothers were very jealous of him. They felt like he was his father's favorite son, and they resented that. So at one point in time, they took the opportunity to cast Joseph into a well. But they did not feel like it was appropriate to kill him, so that a group of merchants that were traveling by there at the time gave them an opportunity to sell Joseph into slavery. So Joseph had a good reason to not particularly care for his brothers. First, he was sold into slavery. And once the merchants continued on their journey, they went into Egypt. And there sold Joseph to the Egyptians. There are several stories that are coming from there in chapters 38 to 45. But one in particular we need to remember for this sermon is the fact that Joseph was spoken to by God through his dreams. Joseph's dreams kept him, gave him good measure in Egypt. Because first off, he was sold to a person named Potiphar, who realized Joseph's capability and gave him a position of honor in his house. But Potiphar's wife started lusting after Joseph. Joseph would have none of it, so Joseph was thrown into jail because of the lies that Potiphar's wife told. While he was in jail, he met the taster for the royal court, and he gave him, he interpreted some dreams that that particular taster had had. And when the taster was released from jail, he went back, and for a couple of years he forgot about Joseph. But then he started, the Pharaoh had a dream, and two nights in a row, two different dreams, and the Pharaoh could not interpret them. And at that point, the taster remembered that Joseph was still in prison. So Joseph interpreted the dreams. And the dreams of the Pharaoh predicted a famine in Egypt. It said there will be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. When the Pharaoh heard this from Joseph, he asked them what he might do, and Joseph gave him a plan to start putting away food during the times of plenty for the times of need. And so Joseph became very, very well needed in the land of Egypt. And going from a slave, he was now made second in command to the Pharaoh in all the land of Egypt. This is quite a change from being stuck in a well back in Canaan. During the beginning of the famine, Joseph's brothers, who of course were still living with his father and the other son Benjamin in Canaan, were hungry. And they decided to go to Egypt to see if they had any extra food that they could purchase. When they came to Egypt, Joseph recognized them. But at the beginning, they did not recognize him. They were certainly not expecting the person who they were dealing with to get food would be the brother that they threw into the well. And so, Joseph decided to have a little bit of fun with them. He did give them the food that they needed, but on two different occasions, he managed to make them feel very ill at ease. He first told them that he would give them food, but they needed to bring Benjamin back to Egypt. Then, when they were leaving Egypt, even after this particular verse that I read here, he was still messing with them, and that he hid an object that he then claimed they were among their possessions, and then claimed that they were stealing from him. So that he had some resentment and decided to have a little fun with them, but he actually helped them. He actually gave them what they needed. So I want to use this as an example of forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that we are all called to do whenever we are wrong. Forgiveness is sometimes the most challenging thing that we can do in a particular situation. Because a lot of times, instead of looking for forgiveness, what we're looking for is revenge. We feel that we were wrong, and we want to wrong the person that hurt us. But Christ's life was an example of how we should respond to injury. Christ never gave bad for bad. Whenever he was set upon, whether it be physically or being attacked verbally. And obviously he was attacked verbally many times before the final crucifixion. He always emphasized that you should love the people that hurt you. You should forgive the people that cause you harm. If a person strikes you, you should turn the other cheek and let it strike the other cheek. If a person steals your cloak, give him your shirt also. These are things that go counter to the way we feel as human beings. We want justice. But we think justice is doing the same thing to the person that hurt us that they did to us. Justice is not that. Justice goes along with forgiveness. Remember that if you are injured and you are continually plotting revenge, the person that injured you is still continually injuring you. He or she has completely taken your focus from where it should be to what this person did to you. The only way that we can move on is to let whatever happened to us go. Now, this doesn't mean that we need to make an effort to let the same person do something to us again. But it does mean that we need to forget, in one sense, what happened to us. We need to remember that what went on before should not control our lives as we go forward. We can only live in the day. We can't go back in time. And consequently, we can't go back and avoid the hurt that was done to us. But what we can do is make an effort, if necessary, a continuing effort, to not let what was done to us in the past control us in the future. We are human beings and we have good memories. And as a consequence, we are always being bedeviled by memories of the past. But we need to release them. The sermon I gave last week was on the walking on waters. And that sermon, the point that I made in it was that we need to focus on Jesus. We do not need to focus on the troubles around us. And with reference to forgiveness, we also need to focus ahead on Jesus. Focus on how he acted during his life, and focus on how he would have us act during our lives. That focus will help us leave the past behind. Just like Jesus was on the waters that were swirling around him, and in the beginning Peter was able, by focusing on Jesus, to forget about that and move toward him, we need to always remember that by focusing on Jesus, focusing on the way he showed love to others, then we can achieve true forgiveness. Forgiveness will not take away the past, but forgiveness will release us from the past. Joseph was a human being also. And like I said, if you read this entire story, and it goes on from chapters 37 to at least 46, you'll see that he acted very much like a human being. The little games that he played with his brothers was something that would not be consistent with what I've been telling you about forgiveness. And yet he was human, and he decided that that was a way that he would get even with them. But in the end, he showed love to his brothers. In the end, he showed love to the people that threw him in a pit. In the end, he gave love for her. That's the message that we need to take from this particular passage. Love is the only thing that will allow us to move forward. Jesus was the ultimate example of how we should love others. And we need to focus on imitating his love so that we can move past our hurts, past everything that's going on in our lives, particularly past all the turmoil of 2020, and focus on Jesus, focus on how he loved, and do our darndest to show love to others in a similar fashion. Christ is our example. We always need to focus on that direction. There's one other scripture I want to read today before I close. And that is the psalm reading for today. It is from Psalm 133, the first three verses. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. There's a lot going on in our world that seems to make unity a hopeless dream. But so much could be accomplished if we lived our lives loving like Christ loved and working together with all his other children in a spirit of unity. That would be a land of justice. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. And I do want to close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we are a blessed people. We look out at the world and we see so much trouble. We see so much hurt. We seem so powerless to do it, anything about it. And yet, with your help, guiding our hearts, each little step we take moves us closer to imitating your love. Help us to always look out into the world and see the need and do our utmost to try and help that need. Help us to find the spirit of forgiveness so that we can ignore the hurts that we have endured and go ahead in a spirit of justice and truth to move to show your love to others. Help us to go out this week and be imitators of Christ in everything we do. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Thank you.